What would the fallout be from a tech cold war with China? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, demystifying the digital economy. I'm Jed Kim, in for Molly Wood. The U.S. and China continue to lob salvos at each other over trade, and the tech industries of both countries are kind of caught in the middle. Huawei, the jewel in China's tech crown, is weighing options in the wake of Google's decision to cut ties with the company. It comes after a decision by the Trump administration to ban dealings with Huawei. There's been a temporary reprieve, which is just adding to the air of uncertainty for tech companies doing business in China. But there's a wider question being asked. Are we entering a new tech cold war? And if we are, where do the battle lines actually get drawn? After all, as in everything from cars to fashion, American and Chinese companies are entwined. Ina Fried is chief technology correspondent for Axios. She says it's one thing to say we want to be more independent from our competitors. In reality,
the U.S. manufactures almost none of the products that are designed here. So your iPhone, your Nest Cam, your GoPro camera, designed in the U.S., manufactured in China. By contrast, China would very much like to be independent of the U.S., but still relies on many, if not most, of its semiconductors from the U.S., as well as things like services and software. So if they want to make a phone using Android, they need software from Google.
How far out is China from being able to do all this on its own?
China has a very aggressive roadmap to try and get all of these technologies, you know, over the next decade or so that they can be independent. And the U.S. is far less likely to be fully self-sufficient, but certainly I think you're going to see the U.S. recognize this issue and try to be not as reliant on China, to try and see where else in the world that's less geopolitically sensitive it might be able to get some of these capabilities. So I think both countries have a roadmap and a desire to get to independence, which may or may not be a good thing. I think, you know, long term, do you want the two technology superpowers, if you will, developing parallel incompatible worlds, or do you want them working together? At the moment, we're taking a step towards parallel independence, but I think long term, you know, we had a Cold War. I remember reading about it and living through it, so I'm not sure that's a good thing to repeat.
Well, what does a long-term tech cold war look like?
You know, I think it looks like a lot of rules like we're seeing today and a lot of pain on both sides. For example, the U.S. banning Huawei. You know, Huawei isn't what powers most U.S. networks. No big deal, right? It turns out it's actually a really big deal. So the U.S. banning Huawei right now also means that Huawei can't support all of its existing networks and devices, which are used throughout the world. And you might say, okay, great, that's more business for Ericsson and Nokia, which are companies not based in the U.S., but at least based in Western Europe. The problem is Huawei served a very important role and serves a very important role in bringing internet to the developing world. Its gear is much, much cheaper. And there are parts of the world where building a modern cell network isn't cost-effective using Nokia or Ericsson gear. It only makes sense if you have a lower-cost option.
Hmm. How are U.S. tech companies feeling about the conflict?
You know, interestingly, they're staying pretty quiet in and of themselves. I think they're all making plans quietly. We're not hearing from a lot of the companies most affected. So the Qualcomms and Intels and Googles of the world are saying pretty little. Who we are hearing from are their trade groups, the folks that they have on their behalf lobbying in Washington. You know, I've talked to folks from the Semiconductor Industry Association, from CompTIA, which represents a large swath of the tech industry, and they're saying, we want this settled. We want U.S. interests protected. We want intellectual property protections, but we want a deal.
Ina Fried is chief technology correspondent for Axios, where she also writes the daily tech newsletter called Log In. She says all of this uncertainty makes it more likely companies will continue to make sure they have multiple sources for materials. No more relying on just one individual company or country for resources or parts. And now for some related links. Who are the winners and losers in the tech Cold War? A Bloomberg article makes the case that it'd be a boon for Chinese tech giants. That's because the Chinese government will have to redouble efforts to develop homegrown semiconductors and chips, and that means pumping in lots of money. On the other hand, The Atlantic calls the current situation a, quote, gift to U.S. tech companies. The gift being that more attention focused on foreign tech companies means less attention paid to the peccadilloes and problems our own tech giants have at home. What does all of this mean for you? Tech Radar has an initial breakdown of how the Google break with Huawei will affect end users. There's a lot of uncertainty over whether phones will continue to have access to Android security updates. What about laptops? The Verge calls Huawei's Mate X Pro one of the best Windows laptops available in the US right now. But at the moment, Microsoft appears to have removed Huawei laptops from its online store. One thing I haven't seen that I'd dearly like to read, if one of you would care to send me a link, an analysis of China's many historical instances of technological isolationism and how that may or may not inform the current situation. Finally, because if I'm asking for something, I should also give, I'll share an article from Wired that looks at 5G and weather forecasting. Yes, 5G promises to make data transmission a dream, but it has its downsides. Frequencies that phone carriers want to use could cause a lot of potential noise for weather satellites, and that means dropping the accuracy of weather forecasting by up to 30%. Or, as one expert told a House subcommittee, bringing predictions back to where they were in 1980. We've got links on our website, marketplacetech.org. Stephanie Hughes and Matt Purdy produced Marketplace Tech this week. Eve Tro is our senior producer. Sarah Brugger is our engineer. I'm Jed Kim, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.